too want to acknowledge co-authors, and two of them are in the room, C.A. Brooks and Alyssa Sendroy-Tara. And what is participation? Everybody here knows this stuff, you know. It's being active, productive member of society, well integrated into family and community life, and it's filling all those social roles that are important to us. And it's doing the things in the community, particularly the things that we'd like to do. And clearly, one of the potential consequences of disability is a restriction in participation, but it doesn't necessarily need to be a consequence of disability. And for several decades, at least three, the conceptual models of disability have distinguished the levels of consequence at the organ system, the person level and societal level, and clearly participation is at the societal level. And despite the fact that the ICF model does its fair share of camouflaging the distinctions between activity and participation, they are certainly there, and that's another talk. Participation, I think everybody agrees, is critical. From a rehabilitation perspective, it's the ultimate outcome that you're looking for. You want people to be back into the community, fully involved. And it's what's important to people with disabilities. I don't think we can lose track of that. It and the quality of life are the two pieces that make sense as the important factors for people with disabilities. It's the goal of the ADA. It's a major contributor to the quality of life, and that's been demonstrated both for people with and without disability. Particularly in the rehabilitation arena, there's this a long history of many, many scales that tap into impairment for specific diagnoses, and so every diagnosis has got its handful of impairment measures and activity limitation measures. There are dozens of them in the literature, and FIMS as the current rising to the top and used most frequently. But when it comes to participation, it's a more recent phenomenon, and while the chart was one of the earlier ones, we now have a long list of measures that purport to be capturing some element of participation. But there's no ideal measure of participation. I think you can look to every one of these measures and you find critiques of either their psychometric qualities or their conceptualization. Some have ceiling effects, internal consistency and reliability problems. There's bottom line, there's no consensus about what the best measure is, and therefore there's a recent flurry of activity attempting to come up with a more psychometrically sound, agreed-upon measure of participation that might be used in future research. And it is NIDR, the National Institute on Disability and Rehabilitation Research, that gets the credit for funding the bulk of the work in participation measurement. And this, the particular tool that I'm going to talk about here first this morning, and then I'll go on to some other measures in the second talk, is the Community Participation Index, and it was funded by NIDR through a grant to the Rehabilitation Research and Training Center on Rehabilitation Outcomes and at the Rehabilitation Institute of Chicago under the leadership of Alan Heineman. And collaborators in this effort include Craig Hospital and Ohio State University, as well as RIC. The CPI development process backed up and started with focus groups. I think it's sort of the unique approach here was 18 focus groups, including 138 stakeholders, and so there were focus groups for consumers, There were other focus groups for caregivers and family members. There were other focus groups for rehabilitation providers. There were other focus groups for payers. And there were a couple even of focus groups for policymakers. And in addition to that, there was extensive literature review to catalog the items in previous instruments and qualitative analysis. But really, I think the contribution of this particular tool is the qualitative analysis of the focus groups and in conjunction with the literature review that used to develop the CPI items. And pilot test of CPI items was then initially done on 258 people with SCI, TBI, and stroke, and 68 people with representing general population. The CPI questionnaire, 55 total items, 10 to 15 minutes to administer. The participation domains included consciously included a social, community, and economic domain, and there was participation question types. There were the objective performance items that are similar to more traditional earlier measures of participation that ask questions about how often or frequency of doing various activities. There was a subjective evaluation of performance items where we're asking whether the people are basically satisfied with their level of participation, and there were subjective assessment of participation values. And it's the values piece that grew out of the focus group analysis, particularly of the consumer focus groups. Examples of the CPI objective questions: in a typical week, how many times do you socialize with friends in person or by phone? In a typical month, how many times do you eat in restaurants? How many hours do you spend working? Those kind of questions were the examples of the objective ones. The subjective evaluation examples: do you talk or spend time with friends as often as you would like? Overall, do you participate in community activities as often as you would like? And how true or false is the statement, I have the money to do the things that are important to me? Then we get into the subjective assessment of what we tended to call participation values. And the response questions were, how true or false are statements like, I can get out and about whenever I choose. I have choices about the activities I want to do. I can go out and have fun. I have the freedom to make my own decisions. I do things that improve my community. I spend time helping others. I feel that I am a part of my community. Now, those questions were essentially derived from the comments made by consumers in focus groups when asked, you know, what is participation to you? They would say things like, I can get out and about when I want to. I have the choices. I have the freedom. I do things that help others. Those kind of statements were clearly made in the focus groups and therefore resulted in these items. The response categories we tried to get them so that they were sort of standardized response categories, whether it was counts or whether it was true, mostly false. And the goal of the performance items is to get the accurate responses of what they actually do, and the goal of the evaluation and values items is to record their personal subjective assessments. So here we're talking about objective and subjective, not in terms of whether it's something observed by a professional or reported by a consumer, but whether it is something that on its face appears more objective, like counts, or whether it's an evaluative assessment. How good is something? How true is something? And then we went about the process of adding these questions to the BRFSS, wanted to compare the participants scores among three representative samples. People without disabilities in the general population, and from using a BRFS sample of people who in those disability items didn't indicate that they had difficulty doing various things. So they basically did not self-report any disability. 500 people with typical range in disabilities in the general population. So these are the folks that self-reported that they do have limitations in activities. And 500 people, this was the target number, with severe disabilities from, these are less representative, but from rehabilitation clients at the three institutions in SCI, TBI, and stroke. And the BRFS standard disability screener questions were used to identify the people with and without disability. And I think just to sort of cut to the chase here, the factor analysis and rating scale analysis, depending on how you interpreted it, but both generally supported the presence of two distinct factors, the objective performance items and the subjective value items. And I think one of the most interesting findings, though, was that greater differences were found with the people with and without disabilities in the performance items than there were in the value items. Basically, if you let people with disabilities tell you what they think constitutes participation and ask them to assess it subjectively, it ends up with a measure that demonstrates less difference in the subjective rating of participation between people with and without disabilities than if you do some attempt to objectively count or otherwise score actual participation. So I think that's the key finding of that particular study. And the two CPI subscales may provide better measurement of the complex concept of participation, but let me assure you, we've still got a long ways to go, and in the next piece I'll talk about many of those, and even after that.